Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
You see these words, "Joy to the World." It's hard not to think of a very popular hymn that was written back in the 1700s. Matter of fact, this song predates the founding of our country. We've been singing it that long. And it is Isaac Watts' "Joy to What?" Well, were you aware that this was based upon a scripture? Most people probably are not. But these words that Isaac Watts wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let the earth receive her king." The key phrase there is "let the earth," not the people necessarily, although the people are included in the earth, but "let the earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing." Know the emphasis is on nature singing. Because Jesus didn't come just to redeem us. You ready for this? He came to redeem the world and everything we see in it, including animals and trees and the rivers and the streams and the rocks. And so in Psalm 98, which this hymn is based, we see this. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him," meaning us. "The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations." It goes on to say, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song. Sing his praises with trumpets and sounds of horns." It's very biblical to have trumpets and horns. And it's also biblical to do what? Make a noise. A lot of you, that's about all you can do, pretty much, in the way of singing. But here is where it gets interesting. This is, again, Psalm 98, and it says, "Let the seas roar and all that fills it," meaning all the fish, "the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together." The whole entire earth is to rejoice at what? The birth of our Savior. Joy in our life begins with a Savior. If there is no Savior, what? There really cannot be any joy. To quote another famous hymn, "O Holy Night," "Long lay the world in what? Sin and error pining." We don't hear that word pining very much, but it means to suffer mentally or physically with decline, to have a broken heart and unmerited longing. The whole world was pining. The whole world lay in sin. The whole world had no hope till the Savior came and the soul felt its worth. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:19 that creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. The whole earth was waiting for Jesus to be born. Every rock, every tree, every river, every stream, when the birth of Christ was announced, if you could hear nature, they would all be rejoicing because there comes a redemption of the whole earth. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees when they were rebuking Jesus' disciples as he was entering into Jerusalem to perform the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus says, "I tell you, if they were silent," what? "These very stones would cry out." When you walk through nature, understand this, that all of creation is crying out and waiting for its total restoration. The psalmist David talked about that, "When I know the path of life, then I will know his presence. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there is pleasures forevermore." There is a river, the Bible says, that comes from heaven down to earth, and it entered at the birth of Christ. And it says, "This river is a stream that makes glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High." Joy came with a Savior. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Well, that wasn't real strong, but nevertheless.
Glory to you, Lord.
Glory. The witness was everywhere at the birth of Christ. We're told that there were three magi who came from other nations. They were pagans. They didn't understand the Hebrew Bible. They didn't understand prophecy. They didn't understand Judaism. They didn't understand anything except ancient books declared a king would be born. And so they came, and the Bible says when they saw the star in the heavens, it says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Notice that there is joy, joy, joy. Everything about the birth of Christ is all about great joy. The star they saw, some people say, was a high star. Maybe it was a planetary conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. Others argue that it was a low star. Have you ever heard the arguments? They're not worth listening to. People arguing about the star, whether it was a high star or low star, maybe it was some star in between. But what we're told, without any doubt, is when they saw this, they knew that they knew that they knew that they had followed the right path, that they had believed the right things. And now this star was going to lead them to a Savior. Can I get a witness? Amen. And that's a little bit better. Exceedingly great joy. As a matter of fact, I would say this. If there is no Savior and there is no Jesus, I don't want to live. Because in my life, there is nothing more exciting, there is nothing more worthwhile than following Jesus. If I can't follow Jesus, what's the point? And I was thinking about things in life that sometimes bring people excitement and joy, and I have a photo of something that is supposed to do that, and that's this. And by the way, that's me ziplining in Costa Rica. And it's a good thing you can see my back and can't see my face. Because I've never seen a zip line. Matter of fact, when you got to the end of the zip line, you disappeared. I mean, the people that were standing where you took off couldn't see you. And the only reason I did this, anybody know why I would have done something like this? Because my wife, yes, my wife. I was like Adam in the garden, you know, my wife. And I said, well, this is on your bucket list, so I guess I better do it. But this is supposed to bring people joy. It brought me utter and sheer terror, but it was supposed to bring joy to people. I was hanging on for dear life. To me, there's nothing more exciting than Christ and following him. And so we see it again when Mary comes to her cousin Elizabeth, and the Bible tells us that when the sound of Mary's voice was present, the baby in the womb leaped for joy. And by the way, for people that want texts concerning the sanctity of life in the womb, this is a good one, right? Here is an unborn child experiencing what? Joy. There is something going on in the womb that is deeply felt, deeply experienced. This baby, John the Baptist, was leaping for joy. We're a lot like that because John didn't see Jesus, nor do we really, with our physical eyes. And the Bible says in 1 Peter, though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him, you believe in him. And you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. I would love to see Jesus face to face. I haven't. But I still have his joy. I still experience this on a daily basis. Joy is part of the Savior's announcement. The angel said, listen, we're going to give you the best news you ever heard. Great joy will be for all people. If you don't know the joy of Christ, you're kind of missing the whole point of why Jesus was born. Yes, he was born to save us, but he was also born for us to experience joy. And matter of fact, I will say this, that yes, joy begins with the Savior, and yes, there is many witnesses in the Scripture, but the joy that you need today, this morning, you must receive it. It is being offered to you daily, but you must receive it. And I have this theory that the angels, when they look down at the suffering of humanity, when they look down at the misery and all the things that we experience in our life and that bring us depression, and they are saying, don't you realize that there's joy just right there waiting for you? They probably lament that the fountain of all joy is present all the time for man to partake of, and yet we ignore that. It's like Jeremiah when he said, be appalled, O heavens. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils, and here are those two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Water always brings joy. And what have they replaced it with? Cisterns. Broken cisterns that can never hold water. This is telling me that people have access to a living fountain, have access to joy, but they choose to go to broken cisterns. Whatever your cisterns are, your hobbies. As great as my vacation was, and it was the 30th anniversary, but my goodness, if that was all there was to life, have you been to airports recently? I'm going through the airport and I'm saying, now this is supposed to be fun. I'm supposed to have a good time. The joy of heaven is available to all of us at every time, and it's more potent than anything we can experience in life if you're connected to this great joy. The Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of heaven is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's about experiencing righteousness and experiencing peace, and we'll talk about that next week, but it's also and has to be always about joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember Jesus? He said, if you'll abide in me and my words will abide in you. The reason why it's so important is I want you to have joy, that my joy might be with you and that my joy might be full. This is Jesus saying, I want you to be full of joy. Amen. And so why aren't we? What happens? I mean, all Jesus says is just, come to me. You want more joy? Come to me. I got more joy. Come to me. Come to me. Charles Spurgeon kind of said this. He didn't kind of say this. He actually said it. He says, from the moment your spiritual life, from the first moment of your spiritual life until you're ushered into glory, the language of Christ to you will always be, come to me. He will always be ahead of you, urging you to follow him as a soldier follows a captain. He will always go before you. He will prepare your way. He will clear your path. You will hear his spirited voice calling you after him all through your life. Do you know this? Are you following? Because every time we do and we obey, there's joy. The story's always the same. When God touches man, there's joy. The connection, the point in which we connect or abide or live in Christ, what we're going to experience is joy. The story of the prodigal is a great story, but it's all about experiencing joy and not taking our life upon ourselves. Remember the story. Two sons, one leaves, and this is a beautiful picture of what happens when you leave God. There's despair, there's confusion, there's lack of purpose, there is a lostness that is at the depths of his soul, and he ends up in a pigsty. And when he turns back, this is what he experiences. The arms of his father loving him, and it doesn't stop there because the father says, I want you to experience me again. And what does he do? He throws a feast. There's a royal robe, there's a fatted calf, there's a big celebration. Why? Because you're with God again. The joy is in the presence of your heavenly Father. What does he say about the prodigal? He says, it's fitting that we celebrate and be glad for your brother, who, by the way, did everything he wanted to do, prostitutes, pleasure seeking, alcohol, all those things that we think are going to make us happy. It's described as death. It's death. It's described as being lost. And coming back to the Father is life and being found. The Bible says that these same angels that lament that we never experience joy, it says, I tell you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one wicked person who repents and changes his mind for the better. Do you understand? Angels get happy when men get back to joy. They get back to their God. Joy is found in receiving. It's found right here. So you say, Pastor, I hear all this talk about joy, but I'm not really experiencing right now. I'm depressed. I have sorrow in my heart, in my mind. May I challenge you to press into God, to come back into his presence and experience what he calls the fullness of joy.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.